John 4, verse 31, just to set this particular passage in context. You're probably aware that earlier on in John 4, you've got the incident of Jesus meeting there with the woman at the well. And what a meeting that was. A woman came to draw water, and Jesus met her at the point of her need and spoke to her of spiritual water. And Jesus knew all about her, didn't he? And eventually she left her water pots and she went back into the city and she says, "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" So it's just immediately after that, in verse 31, that we're breaking in to the passage. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?' Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world.'" Amen. We're ending there at verse 42. And let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless his word in the closing moments of our service. Our loving Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is relevant. We thank you that it's up to date. We thank you that it still speaks. We thank you that it's a powerful word. And we just pray now in the closing moments of our service tonight, Lord, that you would come. Thank you for already for what you've said to us, Lord, through the messages and song. And we just ask, Lord, that you would speak on by your Spirit into our hearts and lives this evening. Have your own way, we pray. And glorify your name, for it's in your name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, harvest is a special time, isn't it? And I'm sure for each of us, harvest, it brings back all sorts of memories as we smell the smells of the fruit and the vegetables. I know for me, it takes me back to when I was a wee fella attending harvest Thanksgivings and so on. And I'm sure it's true to say, isn't it, that this year, particularly for us here in Northern Ireland and other parts as well, it has been a particularly bad year, weather-wise. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said to them, "Had you a good summer?" They said, "What summer?" And I suppose we can sympathise with that. And yet, friends, this evening God has been good to us, hasn't he? The Lord has blessed us. The very fact that we're here this evening, God has been good and God has provided for our needs. There's a little promise there in Genesis 8, verse 22. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." God has blessed us and God has been good to us. God has blessed us materially. He's blessed us with food. I was reading some time ago that a sixth of the world's population, or 1.4 billion people, lack the ability to fulfill their basic needs, whether it means eating one bowl of rice a day or not having the health care that they need. They're in great poverty and in great need. And you know, I often think, so often we say grace, don't we? And we say grace maybe around the table and we take so much for granted. And it's good to remind ourselves tonight that there are many, many, many people in great need. Tonight we have a roof over our head. 500 million people tonight in the world are homeless. And God has blessed us materially. We're a blessed people. And we have so much to be thankful for. But tonight, for a little time, I want us to not so much think of the material harvest, but I want us to focus tonight for a little time on the harvest field of the world. You couldn't expect a missionary to come and not speak on the harvest field of the world, could you? These are exciting days, friends, and world mission. We mightn't be seeing too much happening here in Western Europe, and yet God is building his church. We sometimes sing that lovely hymn, "See o'er the world, wide open doors inviting, soldiers of Christ, arise and enter in." And while we're living in dark days and difficult days, these are great days as we go forth with the message of the gospel. Barriers are being broken down, and God is calling people, and God is building his church. I was reading recently a secular article about China, and about the title was "Christians in China, is the country in spiritual crisis?" And I read this. It says, "Many of China's churches are overflowing as the number of Christians in the country multiplies. It's impossible to say how many Christians there are in China today, but no one denies that the numbers are exploding. There are already more Chinese at church on a Sunday than in the whole of Europe. Throughout the 20th century, Christianity was associated with Western imperialism, and after the communist victory of 1949, the missionaries were expelled and driven underground. Christianity not only survived, but with its own Chinese martyrs, it grew in strength." And friends, that's what's happening today. I'm told that there's new churches springing up in China every day. Every day. And while we rejoice this evening in all that has been accomplished, there remains a great unfinished task. A great unfinished task. Some of you will know that my wife and I, family, we worked in Ivory Coast in West Africa there for a number of years. A couple of years ago, I was with a pastor, Pastor Kone, up there in the north of Ivory Coast. It's in rebel hands at the moment. It's not the safest place to be, but I was with Kone and we were driving into a village, and he pointed out to the right a big field of white flowers. And he said to me, "William," he says, "that's a cotton field." And he says, "if it's not reaped soon, it's going to be lost. If it's not reaped soon, it's going to be lost." So I thought for a little time tonight, I want to speak on the subject of God's harvest, a harvest ripe but not reaped. I'm sure many of you have heard of Hudson Taylor, that great missionary in China and the founder of China Inland Mission. Hudson Taylor, as a young man, went out to China, and one day he was explaining the gospel. And he preached the gospel, and afterwards there was a man came to him, approached him and said, "Mr. Taylor, how long have you known the gospel in England?" Hudson Taylor thought for a moment and he said, "Well, I suppose back in England we've known it for hundreds of years." And the man was shocked and he began to cry, and he said, "Oh," he says, "that's a tragedy." He said, "for my father, he was searching for the truth for over 20 years, and he died without finding it. A man who was searching for the truth but died without finding it. The man went on to say, oh why did you not come sooner? And friends, tonight I believe there's a harvest out there that's ripe. And if it's not reaped, it's going to be lost. A spiritual harvest. And so for a little time I want us to particularly focus our thoughts here on verse 35, where Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest. I've just three very simple thoughts to leave with you tonight. First of all, we have a great danger. And then there's a great duty. And then there's a great day. First of all, a great danger. The Lord says here, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. You see, friends, from when the seed was sown until harvesting time, I'm told there was about 4 months. And I'm told at that time, the common saying was, sure, there's 4 months. You know the way you folk about new buildings, you've got your own sayings, haven't you? I come from Fermanagh, and I've got my sayings there. And we've all got our sayings. Recently, I've started a new role in UFM, and I'm working over in England, traveling back and forward to England. And I was talking to an English man the other day, and I used the word time about. I said, you mean time about? And he looked at me, didn't know what I was talking about. You see, we've all got our own sayings, haven't we? And I'm told that a common saying at that time was, sure, there's 4 months. If you wanted to say, sure, there's plenty of time, you'd say, oh, sure, there's still 4 months. And the Lord turned here to the disciples, you see, and you can picture the scene. He had just ministered here to the Samaritan woman. And that woman, she went in and she started to tell the people, and they're all coming out towards Jesus. They're thronging out, all these Samaritans are coming towards the Lord. And the Lord turns to the disciples and says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto thee, lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white already to harvest. You see, friends, I believe here, we see a great danger. What is the danger? It's the danger of procrastination. The Lord was saying to them, don't be saying there's 4 months. Don't be saying there's plenty of time. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white, all ready to harvest. You see, the Lord had just spoken to a woman, and she was ripe, wasn't she? There she was at the well, and her life was broken because of sin. And what did the Lord do? The Lord went there and met with her. And the Lord began to talk to her about something that she could understand. The Lord met her right at the very point of her need. That lady didn't have a degree in theology. But she knew about water. She was there at the well. So the Lord started to speak to her right where she was, and he began to talk to her about water. And friends, her life was broken. Her life was shattered, and Jesus could look right into her life, and he could see where she was at. And he began to draw her to himself. Maybe there's someone in our meeting tonight, and maybe your life is broken. Maybe on the exterior tonight you're looking good and things look okay, but maybe down deep your life is empty and your life is broken. And you're in this little meeting tonight, and I want to tell you that the Jesus that met with the woman at the well can meet with you tonight. And he can change your life. And he can give you purpose. And he can give you joy. And he can give you something worth living for. And you can go out of this meeting singing like our brethren sang earlier, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. You see, friends, here we see a great danger. A great danger. the danger of procrastination. Do you remember in Luke chapter 12, we read about a farmer, a rich farmer. Farmers would tell us that's a contradiction in terms. A rich farmer. But there was a rich farmer in Luke 12. You can read about him for yourself. And he did well. He had prospered. He had done well for himself, and he didn't have room to put in all his harvest. And in Luke 12 and 18 it says he thought within himself, he had a wee chat to himself, and he says, "What shall I do? Because I have no room to where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But then, friends, we read these words. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, this man's mistake was, it was all about himself, wasn't it? My barns, my fruits, my soul. But God called him a fool. Dear friend, tonight, it's good to remind ourselves, isn't it, that the most important thing is to be rich toward God. You see, when you and I leave this scene of time, whatever we have, we can't take it with us. And our soul is the most important possession that you and I could ever have. And what you and I do with Jesus determines where we spend eternity. I wonder tonight, have you trusted Jesus? You remember Jeremiah said there, he says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved." Maybe you're in our meeting tonight and you're not saved. Maybe God is being gracious to you tonight and he's speaking into your heart and life, and he longs that you would come while there's still time. Longs to meet with you at the point of your need and change your life and make you ready for heaven and home. And so, friends, there's the danger of procrastination, isn't there? You know, these are very uncertain days. Not one of us know. Scripture tells us not to boast about tomorrow. I was thinking about those three dear men over there in Hillsborough just a week ago. Went out to do their day's work in the farm, not knowing that that was going to be their last day. But thank God they had made preparation. Thank God their trust was in God. You see, dear friends, that's the wonderful thing, isn't it? When we've our trust in God, we can face the future. When we've our trust in God, we can go out in the morning not knowing what it's going to throw at us, but we know that should anything happen, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. I wonder tonight, have you got that assurance? I wonder tonight, is all well with your soul? And so we see here a great danger. The Lord says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." The Lord says, "Lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white already to harvest." Some of us are in this meeting tonight and we know the Lord and we love him, and yet sometimes we're inclined to say to ourselves, "When I've this sorted out or that sorted out, I'll be in a better position to serve the Lord." You know, someone has said the devil doesn't mind what we do as long as it's tomorrow, as long as it's not today. And you know, the older we get, friends, the more we realize that life is brief and life is passing. And James said it well, didn't he? He says, "What is your life?" He says, "It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." James says, it's just like a vapor. It's just like a wee bit of steam. I remember as a wee lad, I grew up there on the farm at home, and we had one of those Rayburn Royal cookers, and there were two kettles on it. There used to be what we called the heavy bottom kettle and the light bottom kettle, and the two of them sat there in the cooker, and they were always plumping, steam coming out of them. I remember as a wee fella curled up in the chair and watching them and seeing the steam, and you'd see it for a wee minute, and then it would disappear into the air. And James says, friends, that's what our life is like. He says, what is your life? He says, it's just a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. A lifespan of 70 years seems a long time, 25,500 days. But at the age of 35, nearly 13,000 of those are already gone. And our life is passing, and it's passing very quickly. That's why the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. He said, let's number them. Let's consider them as precious. If we have something very precious, if we own something precious, we know how much of it we have. He says, oh, let's number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so, friends, tonight, how important it is to make each day count for Jesus while we have still time. We see a great danger. That's only the first point, and it's nearly 8 o'clock. But very quickly, not only do we see, friends, a great danger here. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. We see also a great duty. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest. Now, I have a whole screed of stuff here written down, but I'm not going to give you it because there's not time. But I just want to say this. Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest. He says, look on the fields. I wonder, did you ever ask yourself the question, dear friends, why is it we don't see the harvest fields as Jesus saw them? Why is it that we don't have that clear vision that Jesus had? You know, when Jesus saw people, he was moved with compassion toward them. Well, I suppose there's different reasons, isn't there? You know, as I said, I grew up on a farm, but had very little interest in farming. And I remember times being out with my father, and we'd be driving around the country, and my father would look over and he'd look a field and he says, boys, there's powerful land. I never even noticed it, for I had very little interest. You see, I had interest in other things, but I wasn't really interested in the land, but my father was. And friends, so it is spiritually speaking. It's only God that can create that interest in our hearts for the fields of the world. And Jesus says here to the disciples, he says, lift up your eyes. And as these Samaritans were coming towards him, he says, lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white, all ready to harvest. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, do you see the fields? Do you see the lost and the dying? People that still need reached with the gospel. As I said, we worked in Ivory Coast. There were 66 different tribes there. There were at least 26 tribes up there in the north. I think it was around 26 that still needed the gospel. And friends, to think of people living and working and dying and going out to a Christless eternity without Jesus. And that's only one country. And across the world tonight, there's tremendous need. Jesus says, look at the fields. Another reason why we don't look at the fields is we're going too fast. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm going to meetings, I'm maybe cutting it a wee bit fine. I wasn't cutting it fine the night. I set out in good time. But if we're cutting it a wee bit fine, we have to maybe put the foot down and yet stay within the speed limit and so on. But we don't see the fields, do we? We don't have time to look at the fields. We're, we want to get to our destination, and we want to get there as fast as we can, or as quickly as we can. And we don't see the fields. And sometimes as God's children, we're going through life, and it's a bit of a rat race, isn't it? We get up in the morning, we go out to our work, and we come home again, and there's so much to do, but maybe we don't take the time to look at the fields. To look at the fields. And then there's another wee thought, friends, isn't there? You know, I was thinking the higher up we are, the better view we get. Don't know if you ever travelled in a double-decker bus. Sure, some of you have. Well, I was in a double-decker bus some time ago to Belfast. But one of the things I noticed is there's a powerful view when you get up into the second deck. You get into the upstairs. You can see far more. You can look out over the hedges and you can see the fields. You have a good view. And friends, there's just a little thought for there. The higher you and I go with God, the closer you and I get to God, the clearer view we'll get of the fields. And the Lord tonight, He wants to draw us closer to Him. He wants us to feel His heart throb for the world. And He wants us to lift up our eyes and look at the fields that are white, already to harvest. The hymn writer, I love that hymn, where the hymn writer said, "Give me a vision, Lord, I plead. Vision of souls in a world in need, loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see there are millions more. Give me a vision, heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes, Lord, today. Show me the sighing, doomed and the dying. Give me a vision, I pray." You remember Paul near the end of his life, he stood before King Agrippa. He said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Friends, tonight there's a harvest to be reaped in the mission fields of the world. I'm told that of the 7,000 tribes or the ethnic groups, 3,000 are still to be reached with the gospel. We could think of lands here near home, countries like the country of Spain. We think of it as a holiday destination. Less than 1% of Spain's 42 million people are evangelical Christians. We have a missionary couple working up there in the north of France. There's one lady drives 30 miles every day just to go to that wee church. France, population of over 60 million people. Slightly more than half of 1% of the population is evangelical Christians. 36,500 towns and villages, 34,000 of them have no evangelical witness. The Lord says, lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white, all ready to harvest. Friends, we see a great duty, don't we? You forgive me if I've told you this wee story before, but some of you have heard of Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a missionary here from this neck of the woods, from Northern Ireland, and she went out to serve the Lord there in India. But as a young girl, Amy Carmichael had a dream. And in that dream, she could see multitudes going out across a field. She could see young people, she could see old people, middle-aged people, and they were going out across a field. And she noticed at the edge of the field there was a great precipice, great edge. And the people were going out over it, and she could hear their cry and their shrieks as they went out over the edge. And the Lord spoke to Amy and said, "Amy, these are people, these are multitudes of people, and they're going through the journey of life. And they're going out into eternity without Jesus, without the gospel." And then she continued to dream, and in a nearby field she heard singing, she heard music, she heard hymns. And she looked and she could see a wee circle of people, and they were on their hunkers and they were making daisy chains and they were singing hymns. And God spoke to Amy again, said, "Amy, there's the church sitting idly by, singing hymns, whilst multitudes are going out to a lost eternity." And friends, as a result of that dream, Amy Carmichael gave her life to missionary service and went out to serve the Lord in India. I wonder tonight, I ask myself the same question, are you busy making daisy chains, singing hymns? Are you seeking to reach the lost for Jesus? Then, friends, as I close, we've looked here at a great danger. Say not ye there 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. We've looked at a great duty. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white and ready to harvest. But then we notice there's a great day, isn't there? Verse 36, it says, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's a day of reaping. There's a day of harvest. There's a day when we can rejoice together. Thank God there is a day. One day, we read about it there in Revelation. And it says this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Friends, that's going to be a great day, isn't it? There are going to be those from all nations, all kindreds, all people and all tongues, and they're going to be gathered around the throne, worshipping the Lamb. You know, that gives me great confidence as I go out with the gospel, and it should encourage you too. There'll be those from all tribes, all tongues. Those unreached tribes in Ivory Coast, there's going to be some from every tribe. And as we go forth with the message of the gospel, thank God we know that one day there'll be those from all those people and all those tongues gathered around the throne. Maybe you're here tonight and you've faithfully served the Lord in the past, but perhaps you've got discouraged. I want to encourage you tonight. You see, there's a wee verse there in Psalm 126, and it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Scripture here reminds us, friends, there's a great day. He that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. Remember reading, and with this I'm finished, remember reading about a missionary some years ago. And they'd served the Lord in Africa for a number of years, and they were on their way home to the States. And at that time it was a boat. They were on a boat. And on that same boat was the President of the United States. The missionary was going home, had served the Lord for about 30 years, and going home to retire in the States. And the missionary, or the President, he had been on a world tour, or on a particular tour anyhow. And as they reached the port, they were going back to the USA, as they reached the port, the crowds were out. The children had a day off school, and the red carpet was out, and the orchestra were playing. They were all out there to welcome their President home. And the missionary took a look around, and he couldn't see one person there to welcome him home. And he began to feel a bit sorry for himself, and he began to get a bit discouraged. And the old enemy said to him, "My, what a fool you've been. You served the Lord all these years, and there's nobody even out to welcome you home." But then in the quietness and the stillness, God spoke to him. And the Lord simply said to him, "My child, don't be discouraged. You're not home yet. You're not home yet." Maybe you're here tonight and you've been serving the Lord. And maybe you've been feeling a bit down. I just want to encourage you tonight and remind you, you're not home yet. There's a great day that awaits us. And one day, dear friend, if you've been faithful to the Lord, you'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." A great danger. Say not ye there 4 months. Dear friend, our meeting tonight, if you're not saved, Oh, I trust that you'll realize that now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off until tomorrow. But even tonight, before you leave this little service, trust the Savior. If we can be of any help to you, we'd love to help you and show you tonight how you can come and know him. A great danger, a great duty. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields that are white or ready to harvest. Oh, may the Lord help us to see the fields tonight and to serve him while we have still time.